You can listen to Heart of the Matter here on Dundalk FM 100 each Monday evening at 7 o'clock.
Heart of the Matter is brought to you by Dundalk Christian Counselling Centre. This free counselling service is situated at Dundalk Baptist Centre on RTE Terrace. You can contact us in complete confidence on 932 7094 or email us at christiancounselling@aircom.net. You can also visit our website at dundalkbaptistchurch.org/counselling.
This service is part funded by TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM 97.7. I have finally come back after I feel like such a long time away, but Stephen is gone.
And yeah, exactly. That's what we've got, a team here, so you know
we can't get us all together.
Yeah, we can't get us all together. And we've got two thirds of the team.
Yeah, because before that you were gone, and then
yeah,
I was gone,
exactly. So it's like it's good to be in studio this evening.
Well, what are we going to be talking about this evening?
Well, you know, Michael, when the cat's away, the mice can play. So I'm going to indulge my my passions. Actually, one of my greatest passions is bringing information about the persecuted church to a wider audience. This type of information isn't available in the mainstream media for the most part, and so I'm going to be going through the latest issue of Church in Chains and some of the things that they are highlighting in their latest issue.
Very good, very good. Well, we want to start our show off today with a song, and because of the topic, we're going to be starting our song, our show, with a song entitled "Let the Nations Be Glad" by Matt Boswell.
We shall proclaim to the corners of the earth that Christ is come. Let the nations be glad. Salvation belongs to our God. in the Holy Spirit's power, with the glories of the gospel to explain. Now we pray your kingdom come, and we pray your will be done, for the honor and the glory of your name.
So as we look at this topic this evening, Church in Chains introduces the topic, this issue, with the verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to look at verses 7 to 15, just a brief look at this, just to see the context of where it's from. And the Apostle Paul is writing here: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that in the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed, and therefore I spoke,' we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." And as we think of the Apostle Paul, he was no stranger to persecution. In his life as a missionary, wasn't an easy one. He seems to have suffered greatly from the different places that he visited. It wasn't just that he had this easy life where he went from place to place and it was a nice experience for him. Many times he was imprisoned, and they were not the prisons that we know of today. Many times he was beaten with 40 stripes minus one, and he was also, as he says himself, and he was also beaten with whips, and he was flogged. He was shipwrecked in a night and a day he spent in the deep. So all of these things are what the Apostle Paul experienced. And so the Christian life is not always a bed of roses. There are times when people who name the name of Christ have to suffer for the name of Christ. And perhaps in the West, we don't fully identify with that, because we have so little to complain about in terms of the level of persecution that we might endure. In the West, we tend to be ridiculed, or we might be ostracized, or yes, some people suffer more than others. Some people have lost friendships, and family members have refused to talk to them and things like that, just because they name the name of Christ. And that, of course, is a level of persecution. But when we see the Apostle Paul and what he endured, and this is not uncommon in the history of the Christian church, the level of persecution that we see in the West is actually an anomaly. We don't see that when we look at brethren across the world. Most of other, in most other countries, there is a greater deal of persecution for the faith, depending is either from government authorities or from neighbours or from the community and the society at large. So this is the kind of thing that I try and help people to understand, that one of the greatest things we can do for people is to pray for them. But Michael, as we look at these verses, there's a few descriptors here that might help us to understand what Paul is experiencing. He says we are hard pressed on every side. Is that the idea of the whole world seeming to be against him?
What verse are you looking at here?
Verse 8.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just it's affliction, right?
Right.
It's the trouble that's coming about wherever he goes.
Okay.
I mean, I think excuse me. I think the verses you brought up that are actually in 2 Corinthians later on in chapter 11 are kind of bring this out, because in chapter 11 he says, he kind of lists all the things that you went through. You know, far more greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, adrift at sea, danger in the city, danger from Gentiles, danger in the wilderness, danger in the sea from false brothers. I mean, he goes on and on, hunger, thirst, without food, cold, exposure. And then to top it off, he says, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. So it's just, I mean, here's a man who's just very life in pursuit of the glory of God and the spread of the gospel of Jesus is just in every way one of affliction.
Yes.
And whether or not it's external, it's just the suffering in order to bring this gospel to people who have never heard it before.
But the wonderful thing is that the contrast in this very passage is so marked. He goes, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken.
Yeah.
Everything is, we are, but we're not.
That's right. And I think all of that is because of what he says in verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us.
Yeah.
That means we are weak, frail creatures, and we do have anxiety. We are afflicted. We are perplexed. You know, there is persecution. But the hope of the advancement of the kingdom of God, it doesn't rely on us.
Yes.
It relies on the power of God. And in our weakness, in the weakness of those Christians that we're going to talk about who are being persecuted, the power of God is on display. And that's how he ends the section you read there in verse 15. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, right, the gospel's going out, more and more people are hearing it, it may increase thanksgiving. For what reason? To the glory of God.
Yeah.
And so the reason that he's not crushed, that he's not driven to despair, that he's not forsaken, is because he knows all of this displays God's power and is ultimately for his glory.
Yeah, it's important to remember that this is not the idea of mind over matter, though. This is real affliction, real pain, real suffering. It's not like he's not in denial that something that this is not going on. He's not saying that it's not hard for him to go through, but he's saying that in spite of all of that, it's worth it because of the glory.
There's a greater purpose.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to go to our next song here, which is entitled Behold Our God, which is exactly what Paul wanted the people that he was reaching out to see. And the persecution that he suffered was because he was telling people to behold his God. And this is from Sovereign Grace Music. Paul wanted the people to see, and the persecution that he suffered was the people to behold his God. And this is from Sovereign Grace Music. Wanted the people to see, and the persecution that he suffered.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? And nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold.
hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful men. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign.
So, Michael, somebody texted in to say that to ask the question, why does this not appear in the mainstream media? One of the answers could be because there's a lack of interest in general about such stories.
Yeah.
The other thing is a lot of conflicting information from different sources. So certain government sources would say as and the official line would be in a certain way, and then in other places and in other sources you might get a different point of view, and these conflicting arguments might so the media don't necessarily like to cover these stories. Plus they're happening in remoter areas of the world, so there's not necessarily correspondence there to cover these stories. So there's a lot of reasons why this is not found in the mainstream media. But as I love to get Church in Chains because it gives me an opportunity to pray for people and to understand and pray intelligently. I like to pray intelligently because I like to know what I'm praying for, and therefore, maybe it's because I have less faith, but I like to see results from what I'm praying for, so I can give thanks then for what I've prayed for. So I like to know what to pray for, then to pray, and then to give thanks for what the Lord has done. And there are many things that we can be thankful for that the Lord has answered prayer in. I mean, the Maryam Zakharian has been released in Iran. There have been a number of prisoners released in Iran. There's been over the last couple of years. So we can give thanks for that. But there are still a lot of prisoners in various prisons around the world. And Church in Chains every year, this issue of the magazine is devoted to the prisoners and praying for the prisoners and highlighting the stories of certain prisoners. So obviously it's impossible to outline the stories of every single political and religious prisoner in the world. But these are the ones that they have highlighted that they are they know most about, and they give an update on the various different situations. So the first one that they've highlighted is from Tajikistan. It's Bakram Komalatov. Now, maybe I've butchered that name, but this man is 42. He's a pastor of Sunmin Sunbagin, which means Good News of Grace, Protestant Church in Khujand, capital of the Sogod region of northwest Tajikistan. And he was arrested and imprisoned in April 2017 after six police officers raided his church. In July, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison for singing extremist songs in church and so inciting religious hatred. Now, basically what he was doing was he was singing hymns in church. So for something that we enjoy every single week, Michael, that we can go to the church in RD Terrace and we can choose a song, any song that we want, from a vast array of songs, from traditional hymns right through to the modern music, and we don't fear anybody coming in and saying, oh, you're singing songs of religious hatred, you're inciting religious hatred through these extremist songs.
Yeah, we don't often think just that singing itself can be an act of defiance,
yes,
against the government. We take it very much just for granted that we are free to sing a song like that.
We can sing what we like, and we've total freedom to do so. So during the raid, officers harassed and beat church members and found songbooks and Christian literature. They summoned Pastor Bakram for questioning and then arrested him and charged him with extremism. He was held in secret police custody before being transferred to the investigation prison in Starvashan, 80 kilometres from home. And in August, Sogod Regional Court upheld the sentence, and in October he was moved to Yavan Prison, 360 kilometres from home. So now he's been moved further and further away from home. In February 2017... officials raided affiliated churches in the Sogod region, and in March 2017, officials closed down an affiliated church in Conibodham, which is 80 kilometres east of Khujand, and after interrogating and torturing church members. So this is what this man has gone through, and the church members, and these are ordinary church members, have gone through in the last 6 to 8 months. Pastor Bakram and his wife Gulnara have two sons, Fedarvs, who is 21, and Firas, who is 19, and a daughter, Gulnuza, who is 14. Relatives can visit and bring Pastor Bakram food and clothes, and he's allowed to have a Bible. Yeah, but he's 360 kilometres from home. Mm. Okay, he might be able to receive or allowed to receive, but if he's 360 kilometres from home, that's like from here to Cork or even farther. So yeah,
and the conditions in the prison are not going to be a luxury cell at all.
Exactly.
By any means.
So this is Tajikistan, which is, you know, one of those countries in the Middle East, just north of Iran. So you can imagine hot climate, arid climate, not quite desert, but maybe savanna, difficult to travel, maybe not as many good roads as here, all that sort of stuff. So travel is going to be difficult. Getting there is going to be difficult. Getting into the prison is going to be difficult. I mean, this is not an easy sentence for this man to endure.
And what you notice about most of these individuals is that they're never brought up on particularly religious charges.
No.
It's always trumped up as, well, it's a political or it's extremism, but it's never, well, they're because they're a Christian. And
that's
so
right.
The idea of, well, it's religious persecution is not really there, because they flip it somehow to say, oh, it was an attack against the government or something like that.
Usually espionage or something like that.
Yeah.
So in January 2018, Gulnuza fell ill on a visit to the prison and was hospitalized with severe hypertension. So obviously this lady has gone under huge stress, and, you know, visiting the prison, it must have been very difficult for her. So how we can pray for this man is, ask God to keep Pastor Bakram safe and well in prison. Pray for an early release. Ask God to encourage his faith. Pray for his witness to other prisoners and guards. Ask God to bless Gulnora, Fedarvs, and Firas and Gulnoza. Pray for Sunim Sunbagam Church, and ask God to protect affiliated churches in Tajikistan. So we can pray for this man, and we can ask the Lord to intervene in his life.
There was no reference as to how long he was going to be in prison, was there?
He was sentenced kind of to 3 years in prison.
Oh, 3 years, okay.
Yeah, yeah, he was sentenced to 3 years, and he was sentenced in July. So July 2020 is probably when he'd get out. So we're going to go to our ad break now, and after that, when we come back, we'll look at a few more of these prisoners.
Dundalk Baptist Church meets at the Baptist Centre on RD Terrace. On Sunday morning, we get together at 11 a.m. for our main worship service.
On Sunday evening, we meet at 6 p.m. for Bible study.
We'd love to see you there.
And as always, we would love you to get in touch with us here on the show on Heart of the Matter. You can contact the Facebook page, Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM. You can contact the Dundalk Baptist Church Facebook page as well. You can email us here on the show at heart@dundalkfm.com. You can visit the Dundalk Baptist Church website, www.dundalkbaptistchurch.org. Click on Sermons and you can download the podcast of the shows later on in the week. So this show will probably be podcast around on Friday, I would think. Apologies for last week. The show last week wasn't podcast, but I'm hoping that it will be podcast this week instead. Then we have people listening into us from all over the world. We have Michael informs me of people listening in Australia, in India. I wonder, is Aldred listening to us in India? We have folk listening to us in Beijing and also in North Africa. We have some folk listening to us in Germany, in the Ukraine, in Romania, in Denmark, and also in France. We have some folk listening to us in the US. We have Phil, who's listening to us all the way up there in Washington State. Hope you're enjoying the show, Phil. He got in touch with us on the show, and Amanda got in touch with us from North Carolina as well. We have folk listening to us in California. Adriana's listening to us all the way down in Southern California. We have folk listening to us in Mississippi, in Texas, in Maine, in Michigan, and Florida. Daniel and Anna are listening to us in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. There are folk listening to us in Brazil and in Peru. We have others listening to us in the UK as well. Matthew is listening to us all the way up in Inverness in Scotland. Hopefully you're not too cold up there, Matthew. And then we have folk listening to us in West Midlands. We have Imperator and Paulina. Marinus is listening to us in North Yorkshire. And there are folk listening to us in the East Midlands as well, in around London. And then we have other folk listening to us in Northern Ireland, in Temple Patrick and Lisburn and Enniskillen. And then we have folk listening to us in Galway, in Limerick, in Cork, in Youghal, in Tipperary, in Laois, in around Dublin and Wicklow. And then we have our loyal listeners who are listening to us around the town on Dundalk FM 97.7, almost in the middle of your dial. So we do hope that you're all enjoying the show. Do get in touch with us here on the Facebook page. Michael has the Facebook page open and he's reading your messages. And we continue by looking at, unfortunately, this person has been in Church in Chains for the past 10 years. Asiya Bibi was convicted of blasphemy and sent to death in November 2010. She's 52, a farm labourer from the Punjab region in northeast Pakistan, and she's the first woman to be sentenced to death under the blasphemy laws that were brought in 2009 in Pakistan. And while she was harvesting in the fields, a group of Muslim labourers refused to drink water she had fetched because they said it was unclean because she wasn't a Muslim. And when she argued with them, they accused her of blasphemy and reported her to the local imam. He filed a blasphemy case. Local men beat Asiya and the police took her into custody, ostensibly into protective custody. But since then, she has languished in prison for the past 7.5, almost 8 years. Asiya was convicted of blasphemy and sentenced to death. She lost her appeal at Lahore High Court in October 2014. But in July 2015, the death sentence was suspended pending an appeal hearing at the Supreme Court in Islamabad. So she was in the Lahore is the capital of Punjab, and then she was Islamabad, the capital of the country. The appeal was due to be heard in October 2016, but was adjourned when one of the three juries judges recused himself, and another date has not been set. And if this Supreme Court hearing fails, Asiya's only remaining hope will be a presidential pardon. Now, the problem with this case is that it is now so big in Pakistan, there's so much momentum behind it, that nobody wants to put their head above the parapet and make a decision, because if they make a decision either way, there will be uproar. If they decide that she deserves the death penalty, then the case has gone so has become such international fame that it would probably be look very bad in the eyes of the allies of the Pakistani government. And if they decide against the death penalty, then the internal uproar within the country would be very loud indeed as well. So it's a very difficult situation for Asiya. She languishes in prison. She's gone through multiple illnesses, and she's been there, you know, as I say, I keep having to emphasize, but these are not the prisons that we are used to seeing on the news in Ireland or in the West. And, you know, these are the conditions that this lady is imprisoned in would not be very humane at all. And so she's languishing in prison in Pakistan, and her family, her husband Ashik, and she has two daughters, Isha, who's 19, and Isham, who's 18, but Isham has an intellectual disability and also walking difficulties, and the family has had to move several times to avoid attack. So because they are associated with this lady, then they are open to violent attack by society and neighbours and all of that. Asiya's lawyers continue to wait for an appeal date to be set. Pakistan's Chief Justice turned down a request from Asiya's lawyer in April 2017 to hold her appeal last summer. So there was supposed to be an appeal last summer, and there was a lot of momentum behind that, but unfortunately it didn't take place. So how can we pray for Asiya? We need to ask God to protect and sustain Asiya in prison. Pray for a Supreme Court appeal to be heard soon. Pray for her acquittal and release to a safe place. Ask God to protect Asiya's lawyers and judges, because the lawyers and the judges do come under violent attack. There was one judge was attacked after he recused himself, and I may have even been killed. I can't fully recollect, but if I remember, there was a lot of violence associated with that particular appeal. Ask God to bless and protect Ashik, Isha and Isham, and pray that God would encourage Asiya's faith. Pray for the blasphemy laws to be repealed or amended. So we need to pray for Asiya. And then the next person that Chuch and Chains highlight here is Kim Jong-uk, who's from North Korea. He's in North Korea. He's a South Korean Baptist missionary, and he was arrested in North Korea in October 2013 after entering the country with Bibles and other religious materials. In May 2014, North Korea's Supreme Court found him guilty of spying for South Korea and attempting to set up an underground church, and sentenced him to life imprisonment in a labour camp. As you say, Michael, another example of not being arrested on religious grounds, but more to do with, you know,
political
or insurgents or whatever you might call it. So prior to his arrest, Kim Jong-uk worked for 7 years in the Chinese port city of Dandong near the border with North Korea, providing shelter and aid to North Korean refugees, which is also a very dangerous thing to do, because the Chinese government do not like people working with North Korean refugees. And he was teaching them from the Bible. North Korean agents infiltrated his network and convinced him to go into North Korea to seek refugees with whom he had lost contact. And the day after going in, he was arrested and interrogated. So the old story, he was betrayed by a friend. After the trial, North Korea's state news agency, KCNA, reported that he confessed to the crimes and that prosecutors had sought the death penalty, but that the court imposed a life sentence after he sincerely repented. I mean, the level of hypocrisy in this particular case is unbelievable. And that's me laughing at the irony of it.
Since being in prison, Kim Jong-uk has not been allowed to speak or to write to his family and has been denied consular meetings. His older brother, Kim Jong-sam, has stated, "My brother is not a spy. He is only a religious man and was interested in missionary activities for North Koreans." In August 2017, it was reported that South Korea's National Intelligence Service has repeatedly confirmed that Kim Jong-uk was not their agent. As if the world and his mother didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But that's not enough for the North Korean authorities. They have accused him of being a spy. He's been found guilty, and therefore he's going to serve his term in prison.
And North Korea is usually at the top, if not the top, country for persecution of Christians.
It's between them and Eritrea. Mm-hmm. For the least freedom of the press and the most oppressive regime in the world. Mm. There is no freedom of the press in Eritrea. There is a glimmer of freedom of the press in North Korea, but for nothing that we would be used to. You can't say anything against the government there. So we need to ask God to protect and encourage Kim Jong-uk in labour camp. And labour camp is obviously, it's the conditions there, it's not even, like prison would be the Hilton compared to some of the labour camps in North Korea. The people have to endure such horrendous conditions in labour camps in North Korea. Pray for good health. Pray for his release. Pray for Kim Jong-uk's witness to guards and other prisoners. Ask God to protect his North Korean Christian contacts. There are some North Korean Christians. It's very difficult for them. As you say, it's one of the most difficult places to be a Christian in the world, Michael. There's a lot of persecution. Unless you are worshipping the former leaders of the country, you can be arrested for treason. And it's not an easy place to be a Christian. Pray for the refugee work in Dandong and pray for an end to persecution of Christians in North Korea. So we need to pray for the people... for this man in Tajikistan, Asiya Bibi in Pakistan, and Kim Jong-uk in Iran.
Well, we're going to go to our next song here, which is How Great Is Our God by Chris Tomlin, but it's the world edition, and so you'll hear many different languages singing this song. So here is How Great Is Our God.
Age to age, he steps.
So, Michael, I feel like I'm butchering names here. I don't know if you can pronounce this better than me, but this man's name is Savada Agasar, and he's an Armenian Orthodox Christian from Tehran. He's a well-known musician and Christian songwriter and was imprisoned in July 2017 because of his Christian activities. He's serving a 5-year sentence in Tehran's Evin prison. Evin prison is infamous. It is a terrible place. Torture is widespread. Female prisoners are raped. It is an awful, awful place. There's another story that isn't in Church in Chains, but that really that I think is worth highlighting. This a lady called Adrienne Swanson in Sweden, and she was an actress in Iran. She secretly converted from Islam to Christianity, and when she arrived in Sweden, she wanted to make her faith public. So she was baptized in a Lutheran church in Stockholm. Because of that, the Swedish government have said that it was her choice to convert, and therefore she's going to be deported back to Iran because she is not a refugee. The problem with a lot of the politics associated with these issues is that governments don't really understand the level of persecution that Christians endure in countries like Iran, and places like that. So when the Iranian government said that she's guilty of a crime for leaving Islam and therefore will be imprisoned, but she'll only be imprisoned for 5 months, the Swedish government thought, well, that's not too bad. But this is 5 months in Evin prison in Tehran, not 5 months in a Swedish prison, probably in more like a hotel than a prison, the same as here. So there is a lack of understanding among government officials as to what constitutes real refugee status and what constitutes real persecution in these countries. For the most part, Christians that are leaving Iran face horrible circumstances. And so we need to be aware of Christian refugees and be praying for them as they perhaps at great expense to themselves in enduring a lot of hardships, they make their way to the West. We need to pray that they would find asylum in countries that would understand their situation. On the flip side, I do know a couple who fled from Tehran because they were about to be arrested for espionage, and they went through Armenia and all the way up into Latvia, and Latvia allowed them refugee status. Hungary have also said that they will grant refugee status to Adrienne Swanson if she wishes to leave Sweden. But the Swedish government are not allowing her to leave at the moment. So we need to pray for these situations. Coming back to this man, Savada Agasar, he's serving a 5-year sentence in Tehran's Evin prison. And although Savada is a member of one of the historic permitted churches, the authorities became suspicious that he was promoted Christianity through Facebook and that he's in contact with Christian converts from Islam. So a difficult one, because he's a member of the Armenian Orthodox Church, which is allowed in Iran because of its historical significance. Armenia being probably one of the first Christian countries in the world. So this is an ancient church, and so they recognize it from a historical point of view. But again, conversion from Islam is the key here. And if people convert from Islam to Christianity, they face serious consequences. In August 2013, security officers arrested Savada and his friends Ibrahim Farouzi, who's currently serving a 5-year prison sentence, and Masoud Mirzai, both converts from Islam, at Masoud's insurance office in Karaj, which is 50 kilometres west of Tehran. Savadar was held in Evin prison until his release on bail in March 2014, and Massoud was also released. In March 2015, Savadar was tried in the Islamic Revolutionary Court of Tehran and convicted again, as you say, Michael, against action against national security through collusion and gathering. And he was sentenced to 5 years in prison, but freed on bail pending an appeal. On the 14th of July 2017, he was summoned to Evin prison to begin serving his sentence. Previously, Savadar was one of the 50 Christians briefly detained at a Christmas celebration in 2012, at which most attendees were converts from Islam. And the authorities searched Savadar's home, seized belongings, and interrogated him. So he's at a Christmas party. I mean, can you imagine if any of the Christmas parties in Ireland were raided by police, people arrested, beaten, taken away, questioned, and then subsequently sentenced.
Mm.
But just to round up on Savadar, he's single, his church meets in, what's that name?
Majidiyye.
Majidiyye. You see, I knew you'd better pronounce that, in the suburb, which is a suburb of Tehran. And there's been no news of Savadar since his summons to prison in July 2017, and that's not uncommon either. On the prayer diary then, ask God to keep Savadar safe in prison, pray for good health, pray for an early release, ask God to encourage Savadar in his faith, pray for his witness to other prisoners and guards, ask God to protect his Christian friends from harassment, and ask God to bless Savadar's church in Majidiyye. And that is it. Unfortunately, we've run out of time because there's a couple of more prisoners there that I wanted to highlight. But unfortunately, we've run out of time. But do pray for these people and understand that the Christian life is not as easy for others as it may be for us in the West. And we need to pray for them. But nonetheless, God is with us. He will protect us. And if you are not a believer this evening, then I pray that you would indeed put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that he would then become the mighty fortress that Martin Luther wrote about in our last song. So it just remains for me to say good night and God bless.
Good night. And as Kevin said, we are going to end on a mighty fortress.
A mighty fortress is our guide, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flight of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. And on earth is not his equal. That our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. And you ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, the Lord of hosts, his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle.
You can listen to Heart of the Matter here on Dundalk FM 100 each Monday evening at 7 o'clock.
Heart of the Matter is brought to you by Dundalk Christian Counselling Centre. This free counselling service is situated at Dundalk Baptist Centre on RTE Terrace. You can contact us in complete confidence on 932 7094 or email us at christiancounselling@aircom.net. You can also visit our website at dundalkbaptistchurch.org/counselling.